For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today, and thank you for tuning in today. Over the past programs, we have been looking at Bible geography by taking a land tour of Israel, visiting special places both past and present. Last time, we visited Damascus Gate on the eastern side of the old city of Jerusalem. Here we walked outside the city wall to the Garden Tomb and Gordon's Calvary. We remember the work of Christ on the cross for our salvation. Even though we cannot say for sure that this is the place where Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, we do rejoice that Jesus' tomb is empty, that he is alive forevermore. We now will go outside of the city walls near the Valley of Hinnom. We come now to the city of David near Ophel. This is just a 3-minute walk from the Western Wall Plaza. What we are about to witness is a step back in time to the foundation of the city of Jerusalem. The earliest mention of Jerusalem in the Bible concerns Abraham meeting Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Most commentators believe it was at this place. Later on, David took his men and captured the city of Jebus by climbing up the water shaft, which you can see today at Warren Shaft. Here, David established his kingdom in this city, which he renamed Jerusalem. He built his palace here and set up the groundwork and preparations for the temple that his son Solomon would build. Years later, good King Hezekiah and the people of Judah were being attacked by Sennacherib and the Assyrian army. Hezekiah ordered that a tunnel be built that brought fresh water into the city from the Gihon Spring to the Pool of Siloam. This was done by two groups of men that dug through the limestone rock from either side and met in the middle. Now in 1891, two boys who were exploring the tunnel found an inscription from the builders at the spot where they met. That inscription is now at the Istanbul Archaeology Museum in Turkey. This is because at the time of the finding, Jerusalem was under the Ottoman rule. Today, there is a plaque that bears that same inscription that tells the story of how the tunnel was completed. This is quite an accomplishment without modern technology. Going from Hezekiah's tunnel, you can explore other areas of the city of David, such as the city walls from David's time. Now, in the past few years, a few archaeologists have claimed to have found the palace of King David at this very site. This is a startling claim, and this report even bears much controversy today. But the city of Jerusalem is very special, as is the foundation of the city of Jerusalem. I also think it is interesting how the Bible weaves its stories together. The one story I have in mind concerns Jesus and King David. Well, when David was about to overtake Jebus, the Jebusites believed that their city was impregnable. They cried out to David and his men that even the blind and the lame could keep them out. Of course, we've already mentioned that David overcame those odds. Well, Jesus also overcame these obstacles as well. Out of all the miracles of Jesus that he did, only two were ever mentioned to have taken place within the city walls of Jerusalem. It is when Jesus healed the lame man at the Pool of Bethesda, and the other one when he healed the blind man at the Pool of Siloam in the city of David. David was a mighty warrior for the Lord, and God's power was evident through him as he conquered Jerusalem. Even so, the power of Jesus was shown as he conquered sin and death and as he glorified the Father. Now, what a powerful way to look at Jerusalem 1,000 years apart. All I have to say about that is, praise the Lord. Now, truly, the city of David in Jerusalem gives us a unique view of the mystery of this special place. It is definitely a favorite of mine, as well as for many other visitors and tourists to the Holy Land. From ancient history to the current people and future events, there is something to learn and appreciate here at every turn. I invite you to join us again as we will visit the modern city of Jerusalem on our tour of Bible geography in the land of Israel. Come along with us and invite a friend as well. Also, I just wanted to mention to you that IBJM is hosting a special tour to Israel March 10th through the 21st of 2014. You can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online at ibjam.org for more information. Come and be blessed. You will never be the same. Now, with this in mind, let's open our Bibles and our hearts as we study together with our teacher and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman.
Welcome back to this radio program. In our last session, we started to look at the Acts of the Apostles. For the next few minutes, we will look at Paul's ministry in the early days of the church. Barnabas, who was a saved Levite from Cyprus, Barnabas brought Paul from Tarsus to Antioch. In that city, the Holy Spirit called both men to a special ministry. The Christians in Antioch laid their hands upon them and commissioned them. Their first missionary journey took them to Cyprus, where Saul preached before the Roman deputy, Sergius Paulus. When the sorcerer Elymas resisted Paul, God struck the sorcerer blind. At that same time, Saul took the initial name of Paul. In Acts chapter 13, Paul preached to the synagogue of Antioch. This was located in the area of Pisidia, not in Asia Minor. Paul told the congregation of Pisidia in Antioch that, quote, "By him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses," unquote. Though some Jews believed, others spoke against what Paul had preached. In response, Paul and Barnabas began ministering to the Gentiles. Jewish opposition to them caused the pair to leave that city. In Lystra, the inhabitants initially mistook Paul and Barnabas for Greek deities. Jews from Iconium and Pisidian Antioch later arrived and prompted the residents of Lystra to stone Paul and leave him for dead. However, Paul arose and continued ministering. He and Barnabas went to several cities in Asia Minor before they returned to the church in Antioch. There, the pair presented a report of their ministry to the congregation that sent them. Afterwards, they remained in that city with the believers. A group from Judea came to Antioch, teaching that believers needed to receive circumcision. After Paul and Barnabas disputed with these Judaizers, they referred the matter to the church at Jerusalem. Peter and James spoke against imposing any portion of the Mosaic law on Gentile Christians. The assembly at Jerusalem concurred, deciding against imposing any additional requirements on those saved from the Gentiles. They also sent representatives back to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The latter two had a disagreement over whether or not to take John Mark with them. John Mark had left them on their first missionary journey. Paul didn't want to take John Mark, but Barnabas, his kinsman, did. They split, Paul selecting Silas as a traveling companion. Barnabas and Mark went to Cyprus. While at the city of Troas, Paul had a vision. He saw a man from Macedonia inviting him to come there. He and his entourage set sail and landed in Philippi, on the European continent. Lydia, a seller of purple, became their first convert. When Paul healed a demon-possessed girl, her owners had him and Silas beaten and cast into prison. As Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God at midnight, an earthquake opened the prison doors. Paul intervened to keep the jailer from killing himself. He and Silas told the keeper, quote, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house," unquote. The jailer and his household received Jesus Christ the Savior. Upon discovering that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, the city magistrates released them from prison. Paul and his entourage continued their Macedonian ministry in the cities of Thessalonica and Berea. Luke commended those in Berea for searching the scriptures to ascertain the truth of Paul's message. Paul then went alone to Athens, where he preached on Mars Hill about the unknown God. Few of the Athenians believed on Jesus Christ. The apostle then spent 18 months in the city of Corinth, where he associated with Aquila and Priscilla, fellow craftsmen and fellow believers. Meanwhile, the couple found Apollos, an Alexandrian preacher, and in the words of Acts, quote, "expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly," unquote. Paul traveled to Ephesus, where he spent an extended period of time preaching the gospel. God worked miracles through him, and many people turned to Jesus Christ. Those involved in occultic practices burnt their materials. Demetrius, a silversmith, stirred up opposition against the Christians in Ephesus by proclaiming that Christianity would destroy his trade. A mob assembled and they kept crying out, quote, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," unquote. However, an Ephesian city official quelled their outbreak. After leaving Ephesus, Paul traveled back to Macedonia. He stopped at Miletus on his way back to Caesarea. At Miletus, Paul taught the elders of the church at Ephesus. The apostle exhorted them to, quote, "feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood," unquote. He also warned them about false teachers that would afflict them. Paul and his group left Miletus and landed in Caesarea, where they stayed with Philip the evangelist, the same Philip who preached in Samaria in the 8th chapter of Acts. Paul and his group then went on to Jerusalem. The Christians there persuaded Paul to accompany four men to the temple, four men who had taken vows. The Asian Jew saw Paul in the temple, seized him, and beat him. The chief captain of the Roman guard rescued Paul, taking him into custody. Paul then addressed the Jewish crowd. He described himself as a Jew and recounted the events leading up to his salvation. But when he spoke about going to the Gentiles, the mob called for his death. Lysias, the chief Roman captain, would have had Paul scourged. However, Paul asserted his Roman citizenship. The Roman soldier instead brought Paul before the Jewish chief priests. The apostle's declaration, when he said, quote, "I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question," unquote. The apostle's declaration called dissension within the assembled group of Jews. Paul's nephew learned about a conspiracy to kill his uncle. He relayed that information to the Romans. The chief captain then wrote a letter to Felix, the Roman governor of Judea, about the situation. He had an armed guard bring Paul to Antipatris, where Felix resided. When Paul's adversaries arrived there, they accused the apostle of sedition. He defended himself in the same manner as he did before the chief priests in Jerusalem. During that time, Felix kept Paul as a prisoner. The governor heard him preach and trembled when the apostle, quote, "reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come," unquote. Festus succeeded Felix as the governor. He asked Paul if the apostle was willing to govern Jerusalem and receive judgment there. Paul refused and instead appealed his case to Caesar. Festus granted that petition. Paul defended his beliefs before Festus, King Agrippa, and Bernice. He denied Festus' assertion that he had lost his mind. After Paul spoke, King Agrippa would remark, quote, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," unquote. Festus sent Paul on a ship to Rome, under Roman custody. During the voyage, a storm arose lasting for 2 weeks. It threatened the lives of the passengers on board the ship. Paul reassured them that no one would die, even though the vessel itself would sink. The group cast the excess cargo into the sea after partaking of a meal. When the ship wrecked, the soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners. However, their commander prevented them from doing so. The passengers waded up to an island called Melita. While Paul gathered sticks for a fire there, a venomous serpent bit him. The residents assumed that Paul would die, but he didn't, at which point they regarded him as a god. Paul healed many people on Melita, including the father of Publius, called the chief man of the island. Another ship brought the group to Italy. The Roman guard there allowed Paul to live in a house with a single soldier watching him. Paul spoke to those Jews who came to him, reasoning with them out of the law and the prophets. Some believed, others didn't. Paul spent 2 years in Rome. He continued preaching the gospel and teaching about Jesus Christ. No one prohibited him from doing so. With this, we conclude our survey of the book of Acts. Thank you for listening. Please come back for future radio broadcasts.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.